Let's remain standing as I read from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I am starting a series on the Word of God. And the reason is because in His grace, for His glory, He has given it to us that we would know it and that we would live it. We're in a church that is committed to the doctrine of the Word of God. You know that. And thank God that He has given us the grace to believe all of His Word is true. If you're visiting with us today, we do. And we give Him credit, for He has placed in us this deep conviction that all His Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And so today we affirm that God speaks, the beginning of the Bible, and God said in Hebrews, by the word of His mouth, He spoke. Our God, this personal God, speaks. He's given us His word, which is alive and active. It's doing work in us this very day. But because God said certain things, there's also an enemy that does not want us in the word. And so we as Christians must constantly be reminded of how significant His word is. In Psalm 1, the preface to all other psalms begins by teaching us the significance of God's word. It's described as the law of the Lord. But the law of the Lord is not just the commandments, it's all of His scripture. And so what does the psalmist say? First, he begins with the word blessed. What does that word mean? Remember Jesus in His great sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are. And the word actually means happy. Exceedingly happy. Profoundly happy. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word is in the plural, which means it's the multiplicity and intensification of blessing over and over again. In fact, you could translate it this way. Oh, the blessednesses of blessings. It's a positive and a negative approach that the Lord gives us in the psalm, which essentially describes two types of people. Those who are seeking after the Lord and those who are wicked. And throughout the Bible, you see these two paths or these two gates. Jesus, as He ends that great Sermon on the Mount, talks about the two roads, the wide road that leads to destruction and the narrow road that leads to life. And sometimes people think because they belong to a church or attend a church that's conservative, therefore, that's all they really need. But my friends, the world in which we live in, the very fabric of our society is collapsing because so many people do not believe that this really is the Word of God. And if they do believe it, they don't believe it's to manifest itself in all aspects of their life. But it is. It is. And we need to know it. And we need to live it. And so the psalmist begins by talking about a positive and a negative reality. He starts with the negative. I'll tell you why in a minute. But I want to start with the positive. The psalmist says this, blessed is the man. And he describes the one who's blessed by not walking in the counsel of the wicked, nor standing in the way of sinners, nor sitting in the seat of scoffers. But he says, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Now everyone in here, I would assume, believes that. Blessed is the man who does delight in the law. But what does the word delight mean? And what does it mean to meditate? This is very significant. Do you delight in the law of God? What is delight? Delight here is revealed through this action of meditation. Blessed is man who delights in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. I want to give you an application. I really, really long for you to do this. Starting today, open the Bible to Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, the longest chapter of the Bible, the sections are broken into 8 verses that are listed according to the Hebrew alphabet. I want you to begin to read one section a day and then pray that section in your life and for your family and for this church, for Christians everywhere. Listen to what you're going to hear. It will be things like this. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You see, this is delight. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Listen to this. This is delight. How sweet are your words to my taste. Is that you? How sweet are your words to my taste. Sweeter than honey, which was rare and expensive, to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. That is delight. Delighting in the word of God. Delight manifests itself in meditation. For we meditate on the things that we indeed delight in. In Deuteronomy 6, listen to this. Just listen as I read. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. You're very familiar with that. But listen, he continues. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. This is delight, my friends. This is delight. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. That's delight. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts of your house and your gates. That's delight. That's delight. To Joshua, as he was taking over from Moses, he heard from the Lord that I'm leading you, I'm with you, I will never forsake you. And then the Lord in Joshua 1 said this, do not, Joshua, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Then what does it say? Meditate. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Wow. He says in his word, meditate on my word day and night. Then you will know what to do. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Indeed, all of God's word is meant to give us light, life. And when we believe it, when we know it, when we live it, we see that. And so the psalmist rightly says, blessed are those who delight in my word. You can be in his word, and you can know his word, know about his word, but not delight in it. It's called Pharisaism, legalism. But God, through the power of his Spirit, can so illuminate these passages that the hardest heart can suddenly begin to beat in a passion and a zeal for his word, but it comes from God. And so we must, like those who wrote these psalms, ask God to deliver that delight to us. And how will we know it's there? It's when it truly begins to be the meditation of our life. And we will see the fruit that's there. In fact, what does the psalmist say? Verse 3, he who meditates on the word, he who delights in the word, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. No matter how barren and dry the land around it, the circumstances of life, those who are in Christ, who delight in his word, are like a tree planted by a stream. Not a lake, but a stream. Why is that important? Because it implies the continual flow of nourishment. God's provision. When I was in high school, I worked for a company called Whitewater. It was a big amusement park. I was on the landscape crew. Loved it. Worked under a landscape architect. Learned so much. And I love to this day landscaping. I love creating and nurturing. I was put on a team. There were two teams. We each were given the opportunity to create a bed. We were given a lot of money, actually, to do this. A lot of resources. And there would be a competition with a significant reward at the end. My team created a bed that was stunning. Another team's looked pretty good as well, but we won. And I was glad. I was the one leading that team. But about 10 days later, the central tree that was the centerpiece of this great bed suddenly went from green to brown. And it was a problem because it was an evergreen tree. And so we began to dig around and see what the problem was. Well, it was very clear. When we began to dig around the root ball to pull the tree out, to transplant it with another tree, thinking something had to be wrong with the tree as disease, I realized the problem. One of my crew members, when they went to the nursery that we had next to our water park, didn't dig the ball around the tree. Instead, he took a saw and he cut it off and then he planted the tree. And for a while, it looked alive. But oh, my friends, there was no chance for it to grow. How many people treat the Word of God the same way? Like on Sundays, I'm a tree planted by the streams. But during the rest of the week, I essentially am a tree moved somewhere else. And I'm not in the Word. I'm not knowing the Word. I'm not living the Word. I'm not abiding. I'm not praying for God to give me a zeal for the Word. And therefore, the reality of fruit in your life isn't seen because you are not abiding in Christ, planted by that stream of living water. You see, my friends, God describes two roads and two paths. But so many in the Bible Belt particularly want a middle road. They want the roads, the wide and the narrow road, essentially to be parallel so they can walk on each. On Sundays, I'm on the narrow road, and I'm glad to be a part of a conservative church. But during the rest of the week, God's word is not ruling and reigning in their life, so their foot is on the wide road. To help you, picture the roads going in opposite directions and try walking both at the same time. It's foolish. You can't. You either are in the path of the narrow road which leads to life, or you're on the wide road which leads to destruction. It's simply that. If you're on the narrow path, then you have known something already of the delight in God's word. You have. You also know the reality that just because you once had that delight, it might drift. You might become stale. And God knows it. And that's why he died for us. And so we go to him and ask that he restores that joy. And he can. I believe he will. But if you are not in Christ, then you're on that wide path. You may say, I believe the Bible, but that doesn't mean you're a Christian. You could say, I agree with the precepts of the Bible. I like the moral code of the Bible. But you could still not be a believer and believe that. The devil believes the Bible. The devil knows the Bible. He used the Bible against Adam and Eve. He sought to use it against Christ. Do you know the Lord? Is there evidence because there is a delight in the Word? If not, may this be the day that he would draw you to himself and you would trust in the eternal God once and for all. Now, he doesn't just speak of the positive, the one who's in Christ, in the Word, planted like a tree by streams of water. He begins with the negative. And the reason he does is because we were all there once. Every man, woman, and child this day who professes faith in Christ once was the negative. We once were the ones who were walking in the counsel of the wicked, standing in the way of sinners, and sitting in the seat of scoffers. So he begins there. Blessed is one who does not walk. And I want you to note something. There is a downward meditation taking place here. There's an upward meditation in the one who's blessed because he delights in the law and meditates on it. His or her head is lifting up, being overwhelmed by the transcendence of God and the glory of God. There's an upward meditation. But in the first part of the Psalms, he speaks of the negative. There's a downward meditation. Do you see it? The poet is amazing. He begins, the one who walks in the counsel of the wicked. So the individual is walking. And as he walks, he hears noise about life. And as he hears these counsels of the wicked, he stops walking and he stands. And it says he stands in the way of sinners. And it doesn't mean he stands in the way as if to be opposed to them. He stands in their way. He's no longer just walking and somewhat listening. He's now stopping and standing and really listening. He's beginning to meditate on the delights of the world. And then thirdly, it says he sits in the seat of scoffers. So he's no longer just listening. He's no longer walking and then stopping and listening. He's now sitting. And as he sits, what does he do? He speaks of what he's now been meditating on. He speaks like a scoffer, one who mocks. And what's the consequence? It tells us in verse 4, the wicked are not so, they're not that fruitful tree, but are like chaff that the wind drives and blows away. This passage, both in the positive and the negative, is dealing with delight. This passage, both in the positive and the negative, is dealing with meditation. Are you delighting in the Word of God? Are you delighting walking by, sitting, and standing in the place of the wicked? One way you know is by simply considering what it is you think about. What are you thinking about when you go to bed at night? What is it that wakes you up in the middle of the night? What is it that you wake up to in the morning thinking about incessantly? What is it? It's possible that it's things of this world that you, without maybe even knowing it, are beginning to delight in. It could be power, or money, or materialism, or being in control. It could be ungodly pleasures. It could be a whole host of things. And those things capture our heart and mind, and they do not bring glory to God. But it's also possible, as a believer in Jesus Christ, in the victory of Christ, which we've been singing, to go to bed meditating on his power, meditating on his title. And when you wake in the middle of the night and you're anxious, and we all do, you repent of the anxiety and trust in God. I ask the women, by the way, the reason the women weren't in the choir is they were given a night off to come to the women's event. Many were there, it was beautiful. And I had the chance to speak to the women on fear, and I asked them this question. As I spoke about meditation, how many of you know how to meditate? And out of the couple of hundred that were there, only two or three hands went up. And then I said, how many of you know how to worry? And every hand went up. And I said, if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Because worry is meditation. It's just meditating on what might happen, what could happen over and over again. And so the Lord calls us to a different kind of meditation. An upward meditation. And God can give you that gift. And you can indeed delight in him. Last thing. Who is the man? Blessed is the man. As I describe the characteristics that the psalmist gives, we know that this side of heaven, there's not one of us that could ever love and delight in the word that way. No one ever has. The man here wasn't Abraham, it wasn't Moses, it wasn't Paul, no modern day disciple, it's Jesus. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who is the Word. Blessed is the one who has obeyed the Word continually for us. Blessed is the one who was perfect in all these ways. And because of his perfection, all the way to the cross, we come in his power, the power of the Word, Jesus, the incarnate Word, on us, over us, and through us, that this might be true in our lives. Next Sunday, the sermon title is not going to be, "And God Said." It's going to be, "Did God Really Say?" It's the first question in the Bible. And it's the question every day, all day long, that the devil asks you. And he does so hoping that you'll stop walking by, that you would stand, and then you would sit and, like him, be a scoffer and not believe every word that God said. But the powerful victory of Christ Jesus on the cross, that's our meditation. And in seeing him dying, and then seeing that cross without his body, and seeing that empty tomb, we can live in freedom, zealous for his word. Let's now, brothers and sisters, pray together as we sing this great triumphant hymn about the word of God in our lives.